NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods.
And for this last week of the year, we are doing something a little bit special. The Indicator team, we will be sharing our favorite episodes of 2021. But to kick off Encore Week, we wanted to start with one of your favorite episodes of the year. So we saw your messages, your tweets, and a couple of shows rose to the top of our extremely unscientific survey, would you say, Darian?
Yeah, to say the least. It was our little poll of dedicated Indicator listeners. Like Stephanie, she emailed to say that our Beigie Award episode from November was her favorite. And in that show, we heard from Paul Flora. He's an economist with the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia.
You know, without question, the pandemic has prompted people to alter their lifestyles. Sometimes it's just out of sheer fatigue, and sometimes from soul searching.
Here's what Stephanie said she liked about this episode.
It shows the economics profession at its best, recognizing that people's struggles and hardships are what the dismal statistics represent. I just loved it.
Thank you, Stephanie.
And Scott from Detroit wrote in with his pick. It was an episode that got a bunch of shout-outs from listeners.
In the end, I went with informative, entertaining, and clever because those are three of the four reasons I never miss an episode. For me, the exemplar of those three characteristics in 2021 was the October 29th edition. Are you afraid of inflation?
And that will trigger more inflation.
Thank you for listening, Scott from Detroit.
And now the episode that got a lot of love from you. It's from August, the time the U.S. paid off all its debt. Thanks, everyone, for writing in. All right, we'll have that after the break.
The national debt. A lot of people in the U.S. have very strong feelings about it. But back in the 1800s, people were obsessed.
That's all anybody talked about back then.
Ann Daly studies this time period. She's a historian at Mississippi State University and a fellow at the American Antiquarian Society.
If you look at a newspaper from the 1830s, this is all over the place. It's what they talked about over dinner with their families. Everyone had an opinion on this stuff.
Including presidential hopeful Andrew Jackson. Paying down the debt was one of the centerpieces of his run for president. He called it the national curse.
For Jackson and Democrats, there is this real belief that there's a group of capitalists in the U.S. and particularly in Europe who, through the debt, really have a stranglehold on American politics and on the government. And it means that the government can't be as responsive to the people. No, this is like kind of ridiculous because their version of the people is really only like white men. But at least according to their belief, that the problem with the national debt is it means the government is responsive to capitalists and financiers and not free white men.
When Andrew Jackson took office, the U.S. was about $58 million in debt. That's roughly $2 billion of today's dollars. And the second that Jackson got into office, he went to work figuring out how to get the U.S. out of debt. And he did this in three main ways.
First, collecting really high taxes. Back then, there wasn't an income tax. The government made almost all its money taxing imports, tariffs.
In 1828, there's this really high tariff that's passed.
How high was this tariff?
38 to 45% on imported goods.
Oh, wow. That is
really high.
Major. Okay.
Really high. The Southerners call it the Tariff of Abominations.
The second thing President Jackson did was get the government deeply into the land selling business. A lot of that land was either seized from Native American tribes or obtained through coercive treaties. And selling that land became a major source of revenue for the federal government.
The third step for Jackson's debt paydown, he vetoed spending bills left and right.
A bill to build new roads in the South? Vetoed.
A bill to construct a bunch of new lighthouses along the coast? Vetoed as well.
A bill to widen a canal in Kentucky? Vetoed. All of that money was funneled into paying down the debt.
I thought this figure was astonishing. So in 1832, the federal government put $18 million towards debt service and $16.5 million towards all other federal spending. So more than half of federal spending is going towards paying off the debt.
And after 6 years of selling land, taxing imports, and rejecting spending bills, Andrew Jackson finally makes it happen.
He, like, paid it down to zero?
January 1st, 1835.
New Year's Day?
That is when the last set of bonds had matured. So he actually can't pay the debt off any earlier. The bonds aren't due. But January 1st, 1835, the Treasury is finally able to pay off the last of the bonds.
Government bonds. So government bonds are essentially little loans between the government and the people who buy the bonds.
U.S. Treasury bonds are one of the most popular investments on the planet. They're seen as super safe. But if a government is not going to have any debt, it can't issue bonds. So the government stopped issuing bonds and it paid off the ones that were still outstanding.
And at the stroke of midnight on January 1st, 1835, it was official. The U.S. was debt-free.
And there's this huge party where everyone in Washington gets together and people are giving speeches about, you know, how it's this new day for the United States.
It was a very short new day.
In the middle of May of 1837, an enormous financial crisis strikes.
From hero to less than zero in less than 2 years. What the heck happened here?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting.
So after the debt is paid off, the federal government is in this position it's never been in before. It has extra money. So President Jackson decides that this extra money should go back to the people. So he divides it up between the states and puts that money in a bunch of state-level banks. Those banks turn around and start investing that money and lending it out and printing up money as fast as they can.
And it fuels this big credit bubble. Banks are sort of issuing money with wild abandon.
And at the same time, says Anne, the main safe haven investment is gone. As we said, with no debt, the government bond is no more.
There's this very secure place for investors to keep their money. Federal bonds, the government always pays, it pays reliably, it pays on time. And when that isn't there anymore, they're forced into these riskier and riskier expenses, and you increase the level of risk in the whole system.
And at that time, putting your money in the bank wasn't always safe. And without government bonds, people just didn't have a lot of safe places to put their money. So they started putting it into these investment schemes, things like land and railroads and bridges and roads, all the speculation. Prices for everything started rising and rising.
The economy basically goes crazy. It's a complete mania. That's what people call it. And so you have this big bubble and then you have this burst.
That burst was the Panic of 1837, one of the worst economic depressions in the country's history. Half of the banks in the country failed.
Companies closed. People were literally starving.
So why did this happen?
Anne thinks part of the reason is that at its core, debt is a relationship of mutual trust that is kind of like a load-bearing beam of the whole economy.
Buying a government bond does two things. For the person who buys the bond, it gives them a stake in the stability and prosperity of the government.
And for the government, it gives it this great responsibility to spend that money wisely so that it can be sure to pay back the people who invested in it. And that in turn makes bonds this incredibly safe place to put money.
Government debt is really a secure anchor for an economy.
Without that anchor, says Anne, the economy drifted and overheated. And it was really destructive. The depression kicked off by the Panic of 1837 lasted for 5 years.
The federal government does have to start borrowing again, and we've been in debt ever since.
Right now, of course, we are in a record amount of debt, about $28 trillion. U.S. government bonds, though, remain one of the most popular and trusted investments on Earth. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Andy Huether. It was fact-checked by Michael Huh. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.